This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. If you want to be part of the conversation, of course, it's very easy. You just dial the number, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart Scott, the NFL expert, who today is letting me down with a lot of what he knows about football. It just let me down at the start of the show, but we're getting better. We're back because he did tell us everything he knows about boxing.
Two words for you.
Words are Deshaun Watson, and then it's trade for him.
Bradley Beal, two words for you.
In off-season are the two words that I'll give you. Yes, that's when you do that trade. But let's not fall back into that rabbit hole, okay? We've had that discussion already. If you missed it, just go where you can find podcasts, Barton Hahn. You can listen to the first hour. We fought it out, and then we had some fun for the rest of the show, as we were going to do here. So a lot of headlines in the world of sports over this weekend. And the NBA, very busy weekend for the NBA. So the Nets beat the Clippers 112-108 last night. They finished their West Coast road trip 5-0. They've won six straight. And on this road trip, not only do they go 5-0, they beat the Lakers and the Clippers on the road trip. So, you know, you've got to acknowledge that the Nets are continuing to show you that right now they're a tough team to beat. And I just feel like, Bart, they've got two teams that can beat them in the East. Although they're going to the finals, in my opinion. They're that good.
But
there are two. Yeah, Philly is one, and the Heat, if they get it right, is the other. Those are the teams that I look at and I say, those are the only teams I feel can really stop what the Nets have right now, which looks like a team that is just postmarked NBA Finals.
So Brooklyn made their "we got to win now, the time is now" trade. What say Philadelphia? What say the Miami Heat, who we know can absorb another huge contract, who we know that can attract was at one time a space that we thought that Giannis was going to go to? What can they do? But what can they do that can put them – what trade is out there for them that they can do that can make them relevant and make them a viable threat to them, right? Because, listen, they went out there in 5-0 with the big two. They ain't even put the big three out there. You know what I'm saying? They like the McDowell's. They like the McDowell's, not the McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? They both beef patties, but they missing the extra special sauce and the sesame seed bun, which would be KD.
But don't you think the hardest part of what the Nets have put together is the fact that James Harden, it was defining roles.
Your favorite player.
KD is KD. Right? KD is KD. Yeah. But having Harden and Kyrie work together and figure it out, to me, that was the bigger question.
Right.
And they were able to figure that out pretty quickly. And since then, and James Harden is basically the point guard, and Kyrie is the scoring guard. And that's it. I mean, once they got on the same track and they both figured that part out,
I'm the captain.
It's video game now. And once KD, obviously, it doesn't take much for him to assimilate. He did it already with Steph and Clay, so he should be able to do it with these two as well. I think they just need a little grit. If they get a trade where they can just get a little grit into that team, just add one front court player that's a little
–
got some toughness to them, all right, or a buyout, if not a trade. They're just going to be a tough team. But Miami plays a physical, nasty, heavy defense, and they can shoot the three. They give you one team, if they can get themselves right, they can give them trouble. Because I do think the one way you can beat them in a seven-game series is you got to beat the crap out of them and hope that the officiating lets you do it, which is the other part of it as well. And that leads me to another headline from the NBA this weekend. And that is a game between the Warriors and the Charlotte Hornets. And this is Saturday night? I'm trying to remember if this was Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember.
I think it must be
Saturday night.
Yeah,
it was a blur of a weekend for me. Saturday night, right, because Steph Curry was sick and didn't end up playing. He doesn't have COVID, but
he
couldn't play, didn't feel well, right, in his hometown. But at the end of the game, it was crazy. So the Hornets end up winning on a buzzer beater by Scary Terry Rozier, 102-100. But right before that, 9 seconds to go, there was a loose ball. And Gordon Hayward dives on it, and Draymond Green then dives on it. And generally that is jump ball time. Except that's,
unless
that's
you
not
dive
what happened.
Hold on. Now, Draymond,
are you playing a sport where everybody, there's a mosh pit for the football and a fumble? This is essentially in the NBA, they kind of let you do that. It's the same thing. If there's a fumble, it's who's going to hit the floor and you'll get a jump ball. You rarely get a foul called in that situation. But even worse is as Hayward is like just trying to get the ball and Draymond jumps
on
him.
He called timeout, right? He didn't get a
foul.
He
didn't call timeout, but the bench can't. So someone must have called timeout and the officials rewarded the Hornets with the timeout. And, of course, Draymond just flipped out. Here's the play, basically, where Draymond gets – he flips out. He starts arguing. He's yelling at everybody, and he gets ejected.
What's the score of the game?
It was –
I'm lost.
I believe they – it was tied.
They were up two.
Were they up?
They were up two. That's the crazy part. They were up two, Alan.
No. You're right. They were up two. They were up two because they hit the free throws on the text. Right. Okay. So, anyways, this is how it sounded like as Draymond Green gets ejected late in the game.
And now there's a technical foul. Who's it on? Do they put it on Draymond Green? Green is still hollering. There is chaos here. Inspector Center
still hollering.
It's like the Malice in the Palace.
And now a second one on Draymond Green. He got two techs. He's been tossed. Two technicals on Draymond Green. He's been thrown out of the game. It's insanity. That should be two free throws for the Hornets and the ball. My goodness.
That's exactly
what will
it was.
We see next?
It was exactly that. Terry Rozier hits the free throws. Then Terry Rozier hits basically the buzzer beater. And that's basically it. So a lead, diving on a loose ball, and your meltdown basically gave the game away. Steve Kerr, clearly not happy. And you know we've seen this before. Actually, we saw it in the NBA Finals when Draymond kind of lost his cool with LeBron, kicked him in the crotch, got suspended, and that series flipped. Yep. So here's Steve Kerr on that play by Draymond Green.
As his coach, it's my job to communicate with him and with the team. So that's what we've done, and that's what we will continue to do. But he crossed the line. That's the main thing. We love his passion and his energy, and we would not be the team we are without him. But that doesn't give him license to cross that line, and he knows that.
All right. We all agree that he crossed the line, he acted up, he did what Draymond does at times, which is just completely loses cool. He starts flipping out, he just yells at everybody. But can I at least take it one step and say that just like players, officials also need to understand time, score, situation.
Yeah.
And while no, it's not right for a player to start berating everybody and screaming obscenities in the moment, it's also, to me, an example of how the NBA officiating this season and really recently, they've gotten younger and they've gotten more thin-skinned than ever.
Yeah.
I feel like there are times where officials, instead of getting out of the moment, make the call, walk to the scorer's table, get away. If he chases you, different story. But if you're standing in the scrum and he's just screaming at everybody.
Yeah.
Like, just get out of there. It's not necessary to start, like, just wait for, say it, tech, right? Like, it's not necessary to do it there. You got to know there's emotion involved in this game,
right?
And he's got a lot of it going on right now because he can't believe you call a timeout instead of a jump ball. Simple as that.
The best referees in the game does not become part of the story. And, we look at Hockey League. We look at some of these guys that we embolden about, we make them famous. Right. I remember the old school referees were built a little tougher. Right. So now we have these millennials or people that are growing up in this age and they're sensitive. Right. And they take it personal and they don't know how to de-escalate. They in turn, show the rage and want to flex their power. Understanding that, what the ramifications of giving two technical fouls with not a lot of time on the clock would do. Like, I don't understand. After you give them one, why don't you walk away and say, hey, all right, that's enough. I've heard enough. I can remember the older referees, back from the Bad Boy eras, early 90s, and you can have conversations with them and they would give you what they want or say whatever. What's the one that Chuck kissed and he fell when he was racing him or whatever? He was the famous
– Dick Pavetta.
Yeah, Dick Vermette. Like, he would give you a warning. Like, listen, that's enough. I'm telling you, you're working on one. And they would walk away. But now these guys are so sensitive.
Walking away is the key part. Now, Joey Crawford and Tim Duncan, that one got personal. That went too far. There was always something going on. You just knew it. That time that Duncan was sitting on the bench.
Who's upset? Yeah, who's upset
with Tim Duncan?
And Crawford
threw him out of the game when he was sitting on the bench. Like, it just – it got silly. But that – you know, there always were moments. But it got me wondering, like, as I'm watching it – and by the way, here's another story from the same weekend, by the way. If you think I'm being overreactive, now I'm not trying to say this is not clearing Draymond Green at all. It's also me saying that as I'm watching it, though, I'm watching the whole play happen and I'm saying, like, thinking to myself, that referee's get out of there. Like, just get away from him.
Just
like,
walk
why
away.
Why are you go to the scorer's table, make the call, move on. Don't start lecturing him as he's yelling at you. There's no reason for a conversation at that point. None. It's just insane. We're watching it again on ESPN Plus. Now, you've got him pointing. He's calling the timeout, right? You're still standing there pointing. You're looking down, pointing. There's no reason to keep pointing. Just get out of there. Now, Draymond walks away, and he's yelling more and more things, and there's referees all next to him for no reason whatsoever. Now, blame the Warriors for not getting him out of there.
Yeah.
F out of here is exactly what he said. So you toss him for that after the first tech, which, again, it's too much. Now, again, he's not right. But I'm also looking at officiating and saying, just get out of there. Now, so again, same weekend. The Pelicans are playing the Celtics in what was a great game Saturday afternoon. A wild one where the Celtics blew a big lead. Zion played great late. And the Pelicans ended up getting the win in overtime. But you know who didn't see the end of that game? J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick! Why? Well, because he was thrown out of the game. He got a tech for complaining. Which, that happens, right? All right, I've heard enough, JJ. I've heard enough. Okay, fine.
You're warming him up.
But the next time down the floor, okay, he got fouled. And, you know, he's just kind of probably annoyed about how he got hit. So he takes the ball and he kind of spins it in a, like rolling kind of spin to the ref. Like, here's the ball.
He bowled, like, he bowled it to him. He gave him
pretty much. And he was given a second tech and thrown out of the game. and the way the league described it, is that he threw the ball in the direction of an official with force.
How am I supposed to get it the object from one point to the next?
Well, it was more of a flick.
He should have rolled it to him real slow. Like,
listen, I've taken my 5-year-old daughter bowling with the bumpers up, and she's thrown the ball harder than J.J. Redick did to the official with force. So it got me thinking, Bart, you play in a sport, like you said, there's a lot of replay. Officials a lot of these officials are established now, but they are always under siege as well. And Major League Baseball, which we have spring training starting now, the umpires, especially home plate umpires, we've always talked about that, how your strike zone changes from the game. Why does it change from game to game? But it does, and some umpires have the rabbit ears, and they're always looking at dugouts, and they don't want to hear it, and you get ejections, you get arguments. And then you have the NBA.
Yeah.
Power rank for me, worst – mm-hmm. to best out of these three pro sports.
Let's throw soccer. I think
No. Let's just do these three because I don't know enough about soccer to include them. I'm just saying the three majors in North America because we complain the most about them.
Right. Well,
I think the NFL probably as bad as they've been at times. It's still the best of the three.
It may surprise you, Alan. This may surprise you. It may take you totally by shock. I was once thrown out of a game. I got the
not
two.
You.
I got the two burger. I was once thrown out of a football game.
You've also thrown a flag at a ref.
That would be the game. No, I threw his flag 30 rows up into the stands, and that got me the second one, Alan.
You deserve that.
I got my money's worth. I got my money's worth. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you know, usually NFL referees will let you talk. Right, they understand that this is a physical sport, machismo sport. There's violence going on. You know, people trying to hurt each other. You know, so they understand that you kind of like jacked up on Mountain Dew. You got a lot of adrenaline flowing. You got a lot of your competitive juices going. They'll allow a certain amount of verbiage, especially from the sideline. I mean, you hear some of the stuff coming from the assistants. You know, they all trying to work the refs, try and get that next call, and they're pretty tolerant for that. So I want to start off, and I want to rank them for three. So I definitely have to go three. I have to go NFL number three as far as – we call them baby Cincy's. So we'll go baby Cincy, NFL refs. They probably are the toughest of all the refs. They can handle a little verbal browbeating a little bit. Then this is a tough one for me because I see these sensitive, you know, millennial refs in the NBA. Then I'm looking and thinking about some of the things. You mentioned Tim Duncan, you know, getting fined for just kind of smirking and smiling. But I can remember multiple times of baseball players getting thrown out for reckless eyeballing is what I call it, right?
Reckless
the stare
what?
Down. Reckless eyeballing, right? We call that reckless eyeballing, like the stare down.
Let
right?
me just get out the number while you're doing this. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Worst of the three major sports of officiating, I think the NBA is making a push for Major League Baseball umpires. I really
do. But they haven't caught them yet. Because anytime you look at them when you challenge a strike or a ball, like you get thrown out for saying, hey, man, that was a bad call, or are you kidding me, or looking at them. I've seen guys get thrown out for that. Number one, without a doubt, is Major League Baseball, and I believe that the umpires are trying to make themselves part of the show, and they think that people have shown up to see them. I'll be so excited at spring training, and guys are reporting now where we have the automated strike zone so we can take it out of the hands of some of these guys trying to figure out what Aaron Judge strike zone is.
Giancarlo Stanton. Adrian Hernandez is the guy that everybody
Adrian Hernandez.
You have no idea what he's going to do.
some of the players that, you know, have weird strike zones. Like, what's the strike zone for Altuve? Like, what the hell are you doing? What are you throwing at? Like, I understand that he has to be. It's like when boxers come to the middle of the ring and they got them a high tight so they don't want to get no body shots. It's like, we good here on the belt line. We good here. This is low. Like, I think we just have to go to technology and take it out of their hands and give them the opportunity that if we have a close call or something that we allow them. I mean, tennis, by all means, have like the little automatic where you can tell if the ball.
Well,
was
now you have
the
Cyclops. Yes. And so there's really, you know, line judges is sort of like the, you know, you just have to ask for it. And I do think like college football, those officials, every call they make is essentially I'm going to make my call, knowing that if I'm wrong, we can just review
it. We'll just fix it.
Yeah, in the NFL, you do have the challenge flag, which is there. In the NBA, you can challenge one time. Just one time, and that's it.
Better win.
And that's true, too, because you lose your timeout. But the point is there's really, other than the accountability of the L2M report, which is the last two-minute report where the NBA puts it out and lets you know if a call was correct or not correct late in a game. Aside from that, the accountability stays behind closed doors, which is fine, I guess. But it's not even about the performance of the officiating, which I think at times is pretty bad. There's a thing in the NBA that I've noticed over the years, probably the last 10 years. I call it momentum officiating.
Yeah.
A lot of the younger officials get caught up in the momentum of the game, and they will make calls based on that rather than what they really see. Now, that's hard to remove that part of the emotion, but this is what happens when you have so many of the younger refs. Now, the league has tried to develop referees. They put a lot of time into it. They've made sure also to have as much diversity as they can as well, which I think is important too. But I also feel like it's important that there's some recognition where players know who these officials are. And for the most part, there's no relationship. You just don't know who they are. They don't know you. And so it just, to me, has led to a point now in the league where every time there's a little bit of emotion in a game, the officials don't know how to handle it. And so all they do is they go right to the text, call in text, which, by the way, texts lead the checks.
Yep.
Players have to pay for those technicals.
De-escalation, right? You know, we talk about de-escalation and how you de-escalate. They think, okay, let's call a tech, and that'll put everybody on notice. It's kind of stop it, let it out. See, what we do at football, a good job, is during our training camps and our spring training, we have the referees come out and they actually work our practices. So you kind of get them off, you know, a high-pressure situation. You get to talk to them, get to figure out who they are as people, and then you kind of get to plant some seeds that you're a good person too, so that you give them the benefit of the doubt. We get the scouting report on them. We make sure that we're able to engage with them, talk to them, so that, you know, when we say something that's, you know, that may not be on the straight and straight, and we breaking them down, they can call us by name, we can call them by name, and then it's not, they don't take it as personal.
Let's take some calls. 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's go first to John in Kentucky. Hey, John.
Hey, guys, love the show. As a 17-year referee and at the Division I level, you know, I understand the most difficult part of the game is managing players and the benches. Calling the game is easy once you've been doing it a long time, and people don't understand that. But today's referees have gotten so soft on dealing with players and not knowing how to de-escalate. You know, the best officials will figure out in a situation how not to call a technical, how can I not give this guy a technical? And I know this for sure. In that locker, in the referees' locker rooms nowadays, Draymond Green has a reputation, and that is talked about in these locker rooms. I can promise you that.
That's a great point. And you don't want to – look, like it's, we're also human, and you know you're on TV. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to – you know, have that moment where this guy's just going off on you and you're doing nothing about it. I do think that's in there. And John, I love that perspective from you and your experience of him. By the way, officiating college basketball has got to be the most difficult of any of the levels of basketball.
Do we still have them yet? Because you got those idiot fans, man, that'll make a chant in your name. They'll make a chant in your name and embarrass you. You know, they do their research as well. Have you ever had a player that you kind of took it personal with because he said something that was so obscene or he went too far and you said, you know what, this guy's going to have to deal with me every time, you know, we play, that he better keep his mouth shut. He's not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
You know, I'll be honest with you. Early on in my career, that probably happened a couple times. But I made sure once I went home and slept on it and thought about it and thought, look, this is not okay. You know, I was once a college basketball player. I know how it is. I'm gonna go seek that kid out the next time I have him, and we're fixing to have a conversation pregame and say, look, whatever happened in the past is the past. We're going to have a new game. We're playing ball. And, you know, that always helped me out in my career. And as I got older, you know, I just, with more experience, figured out, look, these are kids playing a game. It's a high emotion game. I've got to be able to de-escalate. It's not their job to de-escalate. They're emotional right now. I have to have no emotion in the game, and that helped me a lot.
John, that's a fantastic call. I appreciate your perspective there, and that's exactly my point, is you have to, the idea of the referee is you're not part of the game. You are managing the game. You are controlling the game. You're keeping it everything. You're just basically enforcing the rules of the game. But you're not part of the game. And when you get into that kind of stuff with where you're calling text, which you in your head you got to know, well, that's not going to be too free throw. Like, I can't react with emotion. I've got to react understanding the situation. And I love the word he used. Like, you use it too. De-escalate. It's fantastic.
It hits him in a soft spot. Like, he'd been teased or something about the mole on his face since he was a kid or something. Like, man, show up with that booger on your face. Like, not you stuck. You shook for the whole time. It took you back to those days.
Right. I just always love the scene. What was the
I love
the
Naked
movie.
Gun.
Billy Crystal's a referee, and he's at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's farewell tour, and he throws him out. And Kareem's like, you can't throw me out. This is my farewell tour. And Billy Crystal goes, let me be the first to say farewell. Oh, man, that was a good call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up in audio files, Coach Prime. Deion Sanders, as a coach, has stuff stolen. And then somehow it returns, and he is not happy. You'll hear that and more coming up next.
Money.
Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. For motorcycles, boats, and RVs, for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So a couple of shout-outs on Twitter that I do want to give. So first and foremost, just responses, really, less shout-outs. We had TJ Ragusa. The Goose underscore MMA. Not happy that we talked all about the Valdez Burchelt fight and not about a huge UFC knockout also.
Okay.
On Saturday.
Okay. But Bob Arum came on our air, man, so we had to shout that out because he said it was a can't-miss fight.
And he was
nobody,
right.
And when people say that, they pretty much don't really believe that. He say, listen, this is a Mexican fight, Mexican and Mexican fight, Mexican style. Explain everything about what that was, what Mexican fights are all about. And it lived up to expectations. How many times does somebody tell you, hey, man, this is a good movie? You go and you say it's trash because you have high expectations. I had high expectations, and they exceeded it. And also the underdog is the one who got the win and the knockout by the little man, which is always great to see. This dude put on 16 damn pounds from the weigh-in. He's a welterweight. And he's trying to shrink down like Bernard Hopkins used to do when he was a middleweight to finally his body couldn't do it. And to see the little guy, the ring generalship, man, him moving around, digging and robbing and beaving and weaving. He was hitting with the 1-2, the threes and fours. It's like Mike Tyson and the Mike Tyson story. He's like, I'm going to hit him with some threes and fours. Like, what are you going to do, Mike? He's like, I'm scared, cuz. I'm scared. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to explode. I'm going to hit some fours and threes and two. Then I'm going to explode. And he hit the locker, and the locker fell down. And the dude that he was fighting in the Olympics was right there like, oh, Chucky.
Yeah. I got no shot. I got a hamstring issue all of a sudden. No, I can't wait. I can't make
hit
weight,
him.
Whatever it is.
I love when
you get into boxing, man, because you just eat up half the show, and then we got to go to break.
you a segment off.
We also have Dame Silva said, you didn't talk about James Harden flop in the final 30 seconds, and the refs gave him the call. The one on Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi's driving to the basket. That was a close game against the Clippers. And Kawhi's driving to the basket. And remember I told you how I love Brooklyn James?
He's
nothing like Houston Harden, who's all a flopper. He went back to Houston Harden just for one moment there because, man, he just threw himself away and acted like he just got tossed. And Kawhi drove to the basket. He's strong, but he ain't that strong.
James
does that to officials.
He got a back like a Buick, man. You seen Kawhi Leonard? You seen him on a commercial with Arnold Schwarzenegger? You seen it? He said he's a Terminator, man. He's a cyborg. Of course he has that, man. He probably thumped him with them big old hands. He probably thumped him in the stomach. Broke a couple ribs.
Stop it. Get to the chopper. Let's get to what we
give me the weapon.
We talk about the headlines. We talk about all the stories in sports. And what we like to do is let those who are making the headlines do all the talking. And we do that in a segment we call Audiophiles. Let's begin with we've had some really crazy stories to talk about today. And here's another one. Deion Sanders, who's coaching at Jackson State in the NAIA. And they are now playing football. And so he's had some issues there. And one of them is not just, you know, the way his team plays and stuff like that after games. Another one has to do with the fact that there's not much security when it comes to his office and his locker room and his belongings. Take a listen.
I'm pissed off right now because I have mixed emotions. We won. Kids played really well. While the game was going on, somebody came in and stole every darn thing I had in my locker room, in the coach's office.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Credit cards, wallet, watches. Thank God I had all my necklaces. How? So when I talk about equality and raising the standards, and that goes for everyone, man. Not just the people on the field, not just the coaches, not just the teachers, not just the faculty. But that's everybody, security and everybody.
I mean, you get the gist. Sorry, he just goes on and on to talk about what happened here. But so
the place is packed. Nowhere to find a seat. No needs to worry because I sits in VIP. Must be the money. It's the money, man. Listen, you got opportunists out there that's thinking because he's primetime that he's walking around with all his lavish stuff in his pockets and they trying to look at it as an opportunity. This isn't the first theft that he's had, man. Listen, Deion going to Jackson State is like Hakeem coming to America. Stop, thief! Do not let them take our things. Let them take our things. Like, we're in Jackson State now. Deion has to understand that he has up his security. And listen, he's done something in all seriousness. This is why some black colleges or colleges don't have nice things. Now, Deion, if you want to be a coach, if you want to go to Florida State, he could probably go and be assistant or figure out a way to become the coach of Florida State, because he's become a great high school coach in the city of Dallas where his son – he brought his son Shiloh to become the quarterback there. He brought – listen, if you look at his staff, you think Urban Meyer's got a staff? Deion has the who's who of staff members coaching these kids, right? A lot of those coaches were my coaches. You know, whether it was Rex's best friend, Weeks, whether it's Dennis Thurman. You know, he has tremendous coaching staff there. And you can't have nice things if you're not going to treat these people like they're accustomed to being treated.
All right.
And, it should be a higher standard.
I know you want to go off on this, but I got more things for you to go off on. So let's move on as we continue with audio files and more of the headlines and the headline makers telling the story. And this I got to get your reaction to. This is from Get Up this morning. Mike Tannenbaum talking about the Colts and their deal for Carson Wentz. How does he feel about it? Check out this take.
This move was, to me, almost reckless / desperate, and here's why. They gave up multiple high picks, probably a first-rounder next year, for a player that there was no other competition for, someone that lacks confidence, turned the ball over a lot, and when it's all said and done over the next couple of years, in my opinion, they're going to have the fourth-best quarterback, assuming Deshaun Watson's still with Houston, behind Ryan Tannehill of Tennessee and Trevor Lawrence of Jacksonville. And I think in this situation, they really negotiate against themselves. And if they were more patient, they probably could have had Carson Wentz for maybe one pick, maybe a mid-round pick, because clearly Philly wanted to move on. So while they have a good foundation, I think this move really at the end of the day was reckless in terms of they gave up way too much to get a player they could have had much, much less inexpensively.
Reckless, Bart. Reckless.
I don't get Uncle TB around this time and his talent evaluation. I don't agree. You talk about what they gave up for Stafford. They gave up a player for Stafford, equal player. They also gave up two first-round draft picks, future first-round draft picks. This is a first-round draft pick, assuming that Carson Wentz is going to be, A, available, and he's going to be able to continue to get back to the quarterback that he was. It turns into a first-round draft pick. This is a team that is a quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl. This is the same guy that said that he would give up multiple picks, Quinnen Williams, whatever you wanted for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson hasn't won anything. This is a guy who played at an MVP level. This is a guy that was a true, legitimate MVP contender, and he's back with the coach that helped get him there, and he's going to have arguably the best offensive line that he's had since he's been in the NFL, which is hard to say because when Jason Peters and Kelsey and Lane Johnson was going, they were one of the best guys, and he's going to have a line similar to that. So I expect him not only to get back to what he was because he has a new lease on life, I expect him to be better than that he was because I think he's going to have a complete team around him, and he's going to be protected. This is a guy that was beat up 50 sacks last time. Come on, TB. This is a guy that fourth best? Really? What was we saying about Ryan Tannehill when he was there with you?
Can we get to the last item of sound?
Ryan Tannehill was with TB. He was with him. And how did that work out?
You got away from TB today.
And he got better. Like, don't give me that crap, man. Ryan Tannehill, stop it.
Okay, we got one last bit of sound here. And it was supposed to be a big debate that's now going to be like, you know, just to mention.
Can we push it to next?
All right. This happened over the weekend as well. And it was one of the greatest dunks, not just of the season, of we've seen in a long time, and it's Anthony Edwards. Take a listen.
Here's J-Mac on a drive to the elbow. Kicks the weak side. Here's Edwards left alone. He'll drive the baseline. Rise up and hammer it through over Watanabe. And a foul to boot. What a finish by Ant. Oh, my.
Watanabe.
Felony assault. That's all this. Felony assault. File a case.
You saw it. Your thoughts on where it ranks as far as greatest dunks, in-game dunks you've seen?
I would put it there like fifth.
Fifth.
All
yeah, I think it was – what was nasty about it is he was eye level with the rim.
Yeah.
And he literally just – he was overpowered the defender and destroyed him with the dunk. Like literally destroyed him. Now, there have been some nasty dunks in NBA history in-game. And I still think like one – you know, like we talk about – Scottie Pippen on –
Dr. Dre.
Yeah,
windmill.
Yeah, that one in a finals game was spectacular. But I'm talking about Scottie Pippen on Ewing was disrespectful. Like as disrespectful as they get, right?
Because he had his junk over his head. Yeah, that wasn't
Vince
good.
Now Vince Carter, the dunk of death, was over Frederick Weiss, but that was in the Olympics. Yeah, no greater in-game dunk I've ever seen in my life. That one, because he jumped over a 7-footer.
Yeah, he was a civilian. That was like Gordon dunking over Taco in the dunk contest. That was in the real game.
In a real game. And then, there's VC against Alonzo Mourning, which was also a pretty nasty dunk as well.
Yeah.
So there's been, like I said, there's
I love
been...
the Sean Kemp. I love the Sean Kemp with the .12.
Jordan over Dikembe.
No. That
was pretty serious as well. There's quite a few. Why am I missing the one? Why am I forgetting the one that I mentioned during the break?
Starks.
No, the Starks one, nobody will take that one seriously. I love the Starks one in Knick history, but I don't – like, that's not the one. There was
Ooh,
one
Kevin
other.
Johnson. Kevin Johnson. Woo, yeah, that was pretty gross, too. You remember KJ?
That was pretty gross also. Yeah, there's been some – there's the – oh, Shaq, Chris Dudley.
Yeah.
Where Shaq picked up Chris Dudley, dunked on him, and then threw him into the front row, and then Dudley picked up the ball and wailed
it
on the back
him.
Of his head.
Boom.
That was tremendous, man. Anyway,
we gotta go.
That was Audio Files. Smart's got a lot to say, and of course, we gotta let him say it. But coming up next, the quarterback carousel story continues in the NFL. What will be the next headline? I will ask Bart that next. You can join the conversation at Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Before we let you go, when you give a gift of a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Surprise a sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. You can see our show every day at noon Eastern. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. Also want to remind you to stream Why Not Us. It's a new series from executive producers Chris Paul and Stephen A. Smith on ESPN Plus. Why Not Us follows the NCCU basketball team and reveals what it means to be a student athlete at a historically black college and university, only on ESPN Plus. So, Bart, before we go today, as we've gone through all the headlines in sports, and we want to keep, by the way, we want to remind everybody, keep the tweets coming about the different dunks that you would compare to the Anthony Edwards dunk, because I'm seeing a lot of them, and it's a lot of fun to go through some memories of these dunks. They were in-game dunks, by the way. In-game dunk. Dunks that absolutely mattered in a game. We have not touched on, although we did begin the show arguing about Deshaun Watson, the quarterback carousel. But now we're in a new week, and we've had each week it seems to be another headline when it comes to the NFL quarterback carousel. So here's my question to you, and I'm stealing it from GetUp. Which is going to happen this week? Drew Brees retiring, Big Ben restructuring his deal, or a trade when it comes to the quarterback carousel? Go.
I think Big Ben probably restructuring his contract because he wants to get that done ASAP so that they can figure out how they're going to sign other people. Drew Brees is going to be a drama king like he always is. He's going to take this thing to the last moment, then he's going to cry in his farewell speech, or he's going to try and see if that TB12 is going
to
kick in.
Well, he deserves to have a moment when he announces retirement and get emotional.
No. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is he needs to make the decision so the team can move forward. They have a lot of issues and a lot of things
they might
have
to do. They're going
to
have to do it pretty soon because they also have to sign Jameis Winston to a contract. So, all right, but you're saying it's going to be Big Ben restructuring. So we'll see. We always wonder what the next headline will be. And, of course, that's why we do the show. Bart, this was fun. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart
and Hahn, the podcast.